You are listening to a Here's Hope America Hope Chest audio sermon. This message is entitled, Out of Time, and is taken from the scripture passage of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. The sermon was given on April 17, 2016, at the Mountain Grove First Baptist Church in Mountain Grove, Missouri. The speaker is Pastor Jay Scribner, Executive Director of Here's Hope America.
Turning your Bibles, please, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Hebrews, chapter 9. Get a pen or pencil ready. Take your listening sheet. A message entitled, Out of Time. Your turn. About one more roll and you are gone. You will be forced into bankruptcy. Give it a shot. One. Oh no, you did it again. You missed getting shot down one more time. All right. You know, we've only been playing less than 4 hours, and look at everything I've got all around the board. And, oh, no. I'm out of time. I've got to go. I've got to get somewhere. So, game's over. Man, it was great, though. Look at that. I don't know how many hotels I had. I put it to him this time, didn't I? When you're out of time, when the game of life is over, it all goes in the box. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. Doesn't matter how much land you have. Doesn't matter how many houses and how many hotels. Doesn't matter really how you got it. And it really doesn't matter who you beat. When you're out of time and the game is over, It all goes in the box. You know, it was Vince Lombardi, the legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers, who said, "I never lost a game, but frequently I did run out of time." That's what I want to talk to you about. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Three things. Number one, death is an appointment. Death is an appointment. It says there in verse 27, it is appointed. Now, we know about appointments. We live by appointments. We make appointments all the time. And if possible, we keep those appointments. We have appointments at work. We have a certain time we're supposed to be there. And your boss is pretty narrow-minded about that, to be honest with you. He expects you to show up if you're going to get a paycheck. And he expects you to show up on time. And he expects you to stay there, whatever the designated hours might be. We have appointments. We have appointments with the barber. We have appointments with the dentist. We have appointments with the doctor. We have appointments with the lawyer. We have appointments at school. We have social appointments. We make appointments with the guys down at the coffee shop. We do sporting appointments. Your bulletin is loaded with a variety of activities that require an appointment if you're going to take part in some of those activities here at church. Then there's a designated time. You've got appointments that you keep with. We're all familiar with that. And if in fact we're committed to different things, then we do our very best to keep those appointments. But now listen very carefully to me this morning, and that is this. There is an appointment that you will keep. And it is an appointment with death. We don't know when that is. We don't know the day nor the time. But I am here to tell you this morning that God knows. And it is an appointment that you won't back out of. It is an appointment that you won't get by with not showing up. It is an appointment that you will make and keep. Now, I've said frequently that if you live long enough, you'll die. That sort of applies to all of us. It's like the man that said to the guy in Arizona, he said, "What's the death ratio in Arizona?" And the man looked at him, he said, "Well, it's the same as in Missouri." He said, "It's one per person." Something I've discovered is that death is not a respecter of persons. doesn't respect your age, doesn't respect sex, it doesn't respect race, it doesn't respect your socioeconomic situation. It's just not a respecter of persons. You know, as I look back over 40 plus years of ministry, I don't have any idea how many funerals I've preached, but I will say this. I have preached the funeral of a stillborn baby. And I have preached the funeral of a lady that was 102 years of age, and I'll be honest with you, almost every year in between that. Death is an appointment. Now, here's the second thing in that verse. It says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. Do you see that phrase in there? So the second thing is, death is final. Death is final. These religions and philosophies that promote the concept of reincarnation and an afterlife that is not consistent with the Bible, that all promotes a false hope. I think of all that took place at the 911 thing in New York and beyond, and the attacks on the New York Trade Towers, and I think of ISIS today and them promoting their false religion and their false perspective and concept, and all these suicide killings, all of this promoted by perverted Islamic doctrine and other false religions and Eastern religions that are not consistent with biblical teaching, all that promotes a false hope and a false security. Now, read that again. It is appointed unto men, how often? Once. Say that word with me. Once. Once to die. Now, death does not change reality. It simply finalizes it. Let me say that again. Death does not change reality. It simply finalizes it. Now, here's what I mean by that. Whatever spiritual state you happen to be in at the time of your death, that is the spiritual state that you will abide and reside in for eternity. Now, did you catch everything I just said there? So whatever spiritual state you happen to be in, I've had lots of people over the years, as I've talked to them about their relationship with God, I've had lots of people that have said to me, well, you know, Jay, I guess I'll just have to wait till I die in order to see how everything comes out. Let me tell you something, my friend. That is too late to wait. Because I tell you how everything's going to come out at that point. It's going to come out the way you go in. Death doesn't change reality. So the reality is that whatever spiritual condition you're in, that's why you need to give consideration to your eternal destiny now. Because at the time you die, that's the spiritual state you will reside and abide in forever. Run that word around your mind. Forever. That's a long time. So, if you're a saved person, if you've been born again, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, prior to death, then, according to the promises of the Bible, that's the spiritual state that you will abide in forever. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not been born again, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior personally, if you've never been saved, if you've never been regenerated, then the reality is that when you die, you will abide in that lost state forever. Separated from God, separated from Jesus Christ, separated from all your Christian loved ones, separated from every Christian that you have known that has died, not being in heaven, but you'll be residing in hell, separated from all of that and all of them. Everybody following this? Death is an appointment. Death is final. Now here's the third thing. Death is a prelude to judgment. Death is a prelude to judgment. Now look what it says there. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. Now look at this. But after this, the what? The judgment. The judgment. And the determination has to do with what you've done with Christ. How have you responded to the grace of God? Or have you responded to the grace of God? Let me give you a couple of additional passages. Go back to that old familiar passage in the book of John chapter 3. You've known this ever since you were my height. All right? John chapter 3, verse 16. But I want us to read a little further. Verse 16 says, "For God..." So let's just say that with me. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now let's keep on reading. Look at verse 17. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Look at verse 18. "He that believes on Him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned" when? "Already." Why? "Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Look at verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So you see, it all has to do, my friend, with what you have done and how you have responded and how you have reacted to the claims of Jesus Christ, who He is and what He did. It all boils down to that. Go over to toward the last of the Bible to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. I love these two verses. Just an amazing, simple, composite presentation of the gospel. This is the record. Verses 11 and 12 of 1 John chapter 5. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that has the Son of God has life. And he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's the haves and the have-nots. You either have Jesus Christ as your Savior or you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you do have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior, you don't have eternal life. And as I was saying earlier, if that's the state in which you die spiritually, that'll be your spiritual state forever. Forever. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And you know, at that point, my friend, it doesn't matter how much land you got, how many houses you got, how many hotels, how much money you got, who you beat, how you got it. Everything goes in the box. It's over. Game's over. Out of time. Let me close with this. Probably one of the most effective television commercials of all time, and it actually isn't. Yeah, I mean, I know everybody enjoys the Super Bowl, and a lot of times to see all the high dollar commercials, but this particular commercial took place back in the early days of television. And it was presented and produced by an insurance company. And here's the way it went. On the television screen was a nicely appointed living room and two chairs and an older couple sitting in those two chairs. And he was reading the newspaper and she was busy with some handiwork of some sort, crocheting or knitting. And as the camera panned the living room, you could tell that it was Christmas time. And the wife says to the husband, "Sweetheart, have you taken care of our insurance yet?" And he doesn't even drop the newspaper, just rather nonchalantly he says, "No, not yet, but I will after Christmas." Well, the screen darkens and then it comes up again and same living room, same two chairs, same couple, and you can hear some birds chirping as the camera pans the living room, there's sunshine coming through the window, and you can tell that it's springtime, and you can tell that the trees are budding and someone's mowing a yard, and the couple sitting there, and she says the same thing. She says, "Sweetheart, have you taken care of our insurance yet?" He says, "No, not yet, but I will as soon as we finish our taxes." Camera comes down, camera comes back up, same living room, same couple, sitting in the same chairs. This time, brilliant sunshine. You can hear kids outside playing. You can hear dogs barking. People are mowing the yard. It's obviously summertime. She says, "Honey, have you taken care of our insurance yet?" He says, "No, not yet, but I will as soon as we get back from our vacation." Now, the camera comes down, comes right back up. Same living room, same two chairs. She sits alone. You can tell that it's cloudy, probably in the fall. Her face is sad and somber. She's doing nothing with her hands, but they are folded in her lap. She's looking down. She says nothing. And the commentator comes, his voice comes over the television, and he says this. "You will never run out of excuses. But you will run out of time."
Thank you for listening to this Hope Chest audio sermon presentation. We invite you to visit our website at www.hereshopeamerica.com for additional audio and video presentations and to contact us if we can be of help to you. We would gladly welcome your partnership with this ministry, as well as welcoming your prayers and the opportunity to pray for you. May God bless you is our prayer. For Here's Hope America, my name is Richard Clare, reminding you, hope has a name, Jesus.